Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much. It's me. I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad to be back. I do appreciate Mark Peaches Patrick and the one and only Lance, our producer, for being so together last week and taking care of things for me, keeping the chair very warm, I might say. Appreciate you. Thank you.
I put my butt in it last night.
I'm aware.
We were so fired up about football. It's probably that chair may have melted.
The whole room is glowing.
Exactly. <yeah.
laughs> Now, I did not expect you to be here today.
Not because
you were on the radio last night and forever. But because today is the Ironman competition in Wales, and I really thought that you would have taken the private jet in the night and be there.
I think the company, they weren't going to let me go over the pond with the private jet.
It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I tried.
Rats.
But no, I'm all about a trip to Wales. You know, that's Tom Jones. Isn't that his old stomping grounds? Isn't he a Welshman?
Yeah, Captain Jack and Cardiff and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about that.
And I make you learn some moves.
I have relatives from there, too.
Yeah, I might could learn some moves if I went over there.
You might. He certainly, I just recently saw a video of him singing the blues with a group of people, and it was not long ago. It was wonderful.
His collaborations are amazing.
Terrific stuff.
Yeah, he jumps in with about anybody, you know, over those
years.
Why not? I mean, you know, he's the voice, and the gyration. And so, yeah, I've always looked forward to my trip to Wales one day.
Yeah. We'll be going right through the, over the pond, but perhaps even
over the pond and through
through
the
portal. Yeah. You know,
oh, yeah, I'll need a portal for that. I think I don't know if I'm going to have the resources,
yeah,
the time to get over there and back.
Welcome in, folks. This is the Garden Mama Show. And believe it or not, this is all about plants. Even though we do talk about other things, I'm going to tell you one more Iron Man fact that I picked up this week, and I can't even believe it. I have never considered trying to outrun a hippopotamus or outswim a hippopotamus, but apparently the bicycle is your only hope if you're in an Iron Man competition with a hippopotamus, because they can swim and run faster than you. So just bear that in mind and get your bicycle, you know, put a motor on your bike perhaps. That might be necessary. Although the vision of a hippopotamus on a bicycle does give me a slight joy for the day. The first thing that made me giggle this morning was reading that. Now, my friends, you know that the subject of this program is real gardeners that you and real questions that you ask. And I'm so happy to tell you that we can start with an actual question this morning. Thank you very much. Our text line is already starting to warm up. Good morning, Trey. Trey, it's a very green day in Trey's
world.
Yes,
I thought it was St. Patty's Day there for a minute.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful green. And I did send another of his posts from last night to you. This is Green Man Day around here is why he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a really good-looking Green Man sculpture last night, and everybody's been weighing in with. Some people won't put them on the social media. They just send them to my email. So I've got a lot of that today. So I sent you a couple of those. Fun stuff. And, of course, the question. Now, I don't know who this is from. You know, when you don't tell me who you are or where you are, I look up and roll back.
Roxy from Roxborough.
I was going to say, I'll roll back until we can find something. And it may not even be you. You may have handed your phone to somebody. But Roxy, thank you for the question. What could be the cause of my 25-year-old crepe myrtle looking as though it's dying? Well, that depends on how it looks. And I mean that very seriously. If it looks wilted and is already dropping its leaves, the chances are good it's drought. If, on the other hand, you stand underneath it, and it feels like it's raining even when it's not, that's insects in the upper canopy of the tree. They're sucking the life out of the plant, and you're going to need to do something about them. If, however, the problem is that the bark is blackening. Not peeling, because that's normal in crepe myrtles. That's a feature, not a bug. But it's a bug if your bark is turning black, particularly if it has white eruptions on the edges of the black patches. That is crepe myrtle bark scale, and that's a really bad situation. So assess what the problem is. If it's none of that and it just looks like it's dying to you because it's not blooming or because the color is not right, you might want to consider doing some fall feeding. We don't feed full tilt at this point in the year, but we can feed the roots, often with a 0-10-10 formula or something similar to that. So that's my best advice on crepe myrtles that don't look so great right now. Anytime you can send a picture on the text line, or if you want to send things like that to me during the week, mamaonair@yahoo.com. Isn't that a wonderful green man?
No, it is.
Thank you, Trey.
It makes me want to go watch a movie.
Well, I'm ready.
Yeah.
We need new costumes, though. We definitely need new costumes. This is fun. See, it's Gary from Columbus. Hey.
That was the real name.
We just give you
there
a name.
There you go. Thank you. That's how we roll around here. We've got to get some identification. It's not formal. I mean, we don't need a driver's license.
No, for a while, everybody that didn't put their name on was Bobby from Belzona. Yeah. And then I heard from Bobby.
Too many Bobbies
in
Belzona now. Yeah.
Bobby didn't like that. She was not fond of that. So
she's like, man, quit blaming me for all these bad questions.
I had to give that name to somebody else. The James Webb Telescope is at it again, my friends. I'm happy to tell you.
Busy, isn't it?
I mean, look, man. This is just wild. I honestly, I know I knew this somewhere in the depths of my brief classes in astronomy and whatnot. I knew that it was possible that there would be planets that are not around suns, but I think it was sort of a speculation or a theory. Well, there are planet-like masses that are untethered from any star's gravity, including what is apparently the lightest star ever. And we can see these things now because of the James Webb Telescope. They've been there. We're just late to the party. Okay, we had to come in there and see what was going on. It's interesting, of course, in the way of understanding the cosmic process that gives birth to stars, because many of our assumptions have been based on that gravitational pull of some star to the planets around it. Now we have to kind of figure out other stuff, and it's probably going to take another few rounds with the James Webb to even see it very, very well. This week I am planting carrots. Yes, that's right. I have looked at the forecast. I have looked at my big containers outside, and we're going to have at my house the massive pesto freezing basil making chimichurri doing something this weekend because I got so much basil. And every time it rains, which thankfully it has done this week, it gets a little bit bigger. So I need to go ahead and get it cut out and get it into process. That gives me room in those gigantic containers to plant carrots. I have a couple of very serious tips about carrot planting. One is we always tend to plant too thickly and then we don't want to thin. So if you insist on putting them out there in, you know, really tight fashion with the seeds because you're afraid they won't come up, I understand that. We all feel that way. But you have to recognize that they probably will come up if they're fresh seeds, so you're going to have to thin. So be prepared for that. And, yes, sometimes you have to take the tweezers to thin because they're teeny tiny little seedlings and you're trying to make room for the others. Each carrot, if it's a Scarlet Nance, if it's a smaller carrot, you need to have 2 inches between them. And I think it's important to recognize that even a little more space is not a bad thing. So give yourself the opportunity to do that. When you plant carrots, the other thing to know is that, like a lot of other plants, not everything, carrots and lettuce both need light to germinate. So I have some plastic, or if you might have a glass shelf like I have, you put it down on top of that, up top of the seeds after you just make them in contact with the soil. Then that lets the light in, but it also protects the seeds. You got to watch them. As soon as they start to sprout, you got to take that thing off. Okay. So that's what I'm up to. And no, I don't have purple carrots and I don't have yellow carrots. I wish I did. I don't happen to have a packet of those kind of seeds. I'll be planting Scarlet Nance, which is a short carrot, and another one that is not exactly new, but made for containers that I haven't grown before. Let's see. Here we go. The cannas are rolling up, and as we all know, when the cannas roll up, we have insect problems. This has been a not-so-hot year for them, but when you see that your leaves don't open fully and you're not getting everything you need off of that leaf, you need to suspect that there is a leaf roller inside the clump of that plant. At this time of the year, it's really simple. You cut off all the damaged leaves and get some spinosad is my preference. You may, if you happen to have seven dust at your house, that's okay too. But a dust in there to take care of that particular insect. And then they'll grow right back. You'll have them in no time. But it is true. I saw one of mine's actually had it. They haven't had any problems this year, but they do now. And that brings me to one of today's todays. Today is Diatomaceous Earth Day. How about that?
The look on your face is actual. I didn't know they had a day like that.
I did not make this up.
It was all like PB&J sandwiches and stuff like Kite Day or something.
Well, it's a few other things, but it actually is Diatomaceous Earth Day. And that's another thing that you could sprinkle into the clump after you cut off the canna tops if you have that. There are several diatoms are fossilized sea creatures. We harvest them because they are really useful for a lot of purposes. One is insect control, and in this case, for example, if you have a problem with slugs and snails, you put the diatomaceous earth around your young new plants that you're just putting into the garden, and that keeps the slugs and snails off of it. When you read about this, it acts as if it just repels them. No, it doesn't. It slices their little bodies. That's why you should wear gloves when you handle diatomaceous earth, because it might slice your little fingers too. Now, there are other formulations of it that are effective in things like pond filters and pool filters and one thing and another. The one you want is the garden grind, because it's not going to be as fine as those others. You don't really need a powder for this. You need to have those edges be nice and sharp. Another Gulf fritillary butterfly in my pentas this week. A pretty photograph if you join us at supertalk.tv. I'm really fond of those butterflies, and this has just been a lovely year for them at my place. I hope you're getting them too. We've had several different things, but
I'm seeing a lot of butterflies. Hawk loves chasing them. I don't know if he's caught one yet, because they're pretty, you know.
We don't like that picture. Yeah, we want them to land on his head and tease him.
Oh, no. It's so funny. They buzz him pretty good. Yeah. They know that he's not going to get him. I don't know how they feel so confident, but they definitely like to tease him. And he chases them around, and he loves chasing some butterflies now.
Well, the one really serious outdoor cat at my house continues to sit on the bench and attempt to even just catch up with the butterflies, but they don't give him a chance.
I do have to give Trey credit this morning, because there is a very nice white. It's like if you went to a restaurant and they've got the specials in front of it, and it's like a Happy Valentine's one.
Oh,
and
Trey.
He brought this, and I love it. But it goes, you know, bring your girlfriend 20% off.
Uh huh.
Bring your wife 45% off.
Mm-hmm.
Bring both at the same time, free. But free transport to the hospital comes along with mm-hmm. that. So that's a good one. Thank you.
they might leave you on the side of the road.
You don't. I would not try that at home.
No, I would not try that at home. At least not my home anyway. But that's another story. You know, each other.
Oh, and the other one he sent you, engineers have the highest satisfaction rate.
That's what he tells us.
I saw that the other day.
He tells us that a lot. To save time, let's just assume I'm never wrong. How about that? Best comment about engineers from a woman that I respect a great deal who has a degree in engineering and is in media. She says, you know, the reason you become an engineer is because you want to fix things. And this is not theoretical. This is fix things. And that's a very good description. A lot of people think it's a train engineer, and that's true, but they fix things too. They fix all of that stuff. Gardening is cheaper than therapy. Until your spouse adds up the receipts.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to a garden center.
That's why you have to have your own bank account.
That, and you need to, you know.
Gentlemen, ladies, each person, each human being on this earth needs their own bank account.
Well, and you need to know how to.
Or at least your own cash app.
You need to know how to get your seeds, too. Like if you've already grown something, and, you know, that makes it a lot
that
cheaper when you
that,
know how
that's
to.
That's true.
And
that's
you're the
true.
Expert at that, so.
Well, I'll save some seed, and I like to let other things reseed. But I want to try things that are new sometimes, too. And that's where you got to go buy those seeds. I'm working on a smaller kale. You know, everybody's gotten kind of crazed over kale. So we've ended up with, I don't even know if the name of it is gigantic or not, but it's a gigantic leaf of kale. And that's fine, but gets a lot of kale. And I need to turn that into roasted kale with olive oil and stuff before I can eat that. It's too intense. But these little heads, these little kales, are really much more tender and a different, a lighter green color. They're not like mustard green, but they're they're just a little bit lighter in their taste.
What is your green favorite as far as if you got the collards, the mustards, the kale, you know,
are you telling me I can only have one?
No, no. Like if you rated them, if you had like four or five you rated, what would be your favorite to grow versus favorite to eat?
Probably my favorite to eat is collards, but it has to be like late November,
right?
After it's been cold for a while and they taste better. But to, for me, it's a whole other world of growing. I really like to grow Swiss chard and spinach, and those are things we
plant in September. That's what I always forget about is spinach and chard.
Time to plant those right now.
It's like six or seven different types of greens you can go with.
But this year, all I'm growing, I've decided the things I really want to grow to eat. I always try to grow some lettuce because that's I like my lettuce, but because I eat so much lettuce. And I'm growing carrots because I've already carried on and moaned about how crummy the carrots are that I'm finding at the grocery stores. Yes, even the organic ones. And I'm growing Chinese cabbage because I'm really tired of the gigantic heads of Chinese cabbage that don't taste as good as the smaller ones. They don't need to be picked by the pound. You need to grow them by the head. That and the little kale.
Is cabbage something that needs to grow in a cooler environment?
Yes.
Summer is not going to work. As we get into the 70s,
This is the time now. If you can find the transplants, even better, but you can certainly start them from seed. This is also the time for some of our very favorite herbs to be planted. I'm parsley and dill, particularly cilantro, all of those things grow much better as the weather cools as opposed to growing them as the weather's getting hotter in the springtime. So those are things I'm working on. It's almost time to plant garlic. I've managed to have a spot to put a few garlic pods. And I'm going to say this is going to sound, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm just not bougie enough to grow or eat fennel. I'm sorry. It's too anise. It's too licorice. I don't like that. So if you're growing fennel, call us and tell us how you do it. Yeah. We don't.
And who's eating it, right?
And who's eating it? Everything you go, the cooking shows are all shaved fennel. No. I had a house in California that had fennel growing in the yard. We ate it twice. It was like, okay, we'll try it again. No. Oh, my goodness. It's early Saturday morning, and this is the Garden Mama Show.
Is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Our farm's amber waves of grain become your tasty creations in the kitchen. From a bushel of wheat comes the flour you need to enjoy the breads, cakes, cereals, and pastas we all love so much. And even if you aren't a world-renowned chef, wheat grown in Mississippi is used in many of the foods you buy on the grocery store shelves. Wheat, just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you. The Farm Families of Mississippi.
She's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine.
You always wonder what happened in September. But the good news is, somebody sent me a note and said, Do people actually stand at bus stops under umbrellas? Yes, not every bus stop has a cover over it, and sometimes there's too many people for that, depending on where you are. But who sang that song? And, of course, that's the Hollies, H-O-L-L-I-E-S, which is not the reason that they're in here, even though it is a garden-type reference in that crazy sense of the way my brain works, but it's not only a good song, it mentions particular things, talks about the outdoors, and yes, it's Graham Nash. So that's why. You have to look at the far back of some of these people's careers to really get to where you can enjoy it. Really good questions. Which kale is that? It's Tuscan baby kale from Renee's Garden Seeds that I'm growing. Rhett talks about his gigantic deal that it was so big by Thanksgiving he could have put the spice companies out of business. That's really excellent. You know, that's the perfect outcome for planting dill at this point in the year, is that it would be so beautiful by then. I love that. And Kathy's going to grow her root vegetables in grow bags. What's a good compost mix for that? I'm going to say I have two ideas. The first is that if you have a good soil mix that you like, that you use in containers, that's going to be great, but it's probably going to be too heavy in a grow bag and stay a little bit too wet. So cut it with something. Cut it, if you have a bag of perlite laying around, cut it with perlite. Cut it with something called soil conditioner, which is basically ground bark that's been ground up into smaller pieces. They're a half inch and less, or half inch about, and a little bit more, sometimes not much. But those are good choices. And the only other thing that I would say is that if you have ever had any trouble with your soil mix growing root crops, for any reason, you will want to get some trace elements that you literally mix it up like fertilizer and water the plants with it to put the trace elements into the soil. That's the only other limitation to growing in containers sometimes, to getting our root crops to do what they need to do. But it's a great idea. Someone just gave me some smaller ones, and I haven't decided what to do with it yet, but I think they're going to be great for rooting woody shrubs this fall. Let's see. Paul and Brandon wants to know, what is a good weed killer for flower beds that won't harm my roses, gardenias, and Indian hawthorns? That would be your hands and gloves. And I say this with all sincerity. Now, if you can shield those plants from the weeds that you want to paint or spray something onto, you can certainly use any weed killer that is labeled for the weeds that you have. In my case, when I have that kind of situation, and I do, I'm using another one from Natural Guard. It's a corn gluten product, and it simply is a contact killer. It knocks them down, the sunlight hits them, and they absolutely die. Now, that doesn't do anything about the seeds in the ground underneath, and it doesn't go any further than the space that you spray it on. But if you can give yourself the opportunity to shield the other plants, you can do that with either a spray or a paint of whatever weed killer you want to use. Problem is, sometimes we have drift, and a lot of times we miss when we're trying to spray. So just make sure you shield the plants that are your desirable ones before you start doing that. My suggestion is always to pull the weeds out, and then when they sprout again, and they're small and tender, that's the point where you'll be able to have better success in controlling the problems. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Let's see. Fall flower seeds. Good question from Lisa. Right now, I'm all about some corn flowers. I'm all about any of the things that we think of as late fall blooming. It's time to plant them now. You still got time for 60-day zinnias. You still got time for 60-day celosia. But anything longer than that, you're going to have to really consider whether you would be able to cover them if the weather turned on you. So those are the things that I'm looking at doing, that I hope that you will be doing too. Cornflowers are probably the most reliable because they're simple to grow and they're lovely. But there are a lot of other things, particularly anything in that 60-day summer annual category. Now, if you're starting seeds and you want them to grow over the winter, go ahead and start some snapdragons. Go ahead and start even some pansies or violas or anything in that family, Johnny Jump Ups. Those are the things you're going to be seeing in the garden centers in the next number of weeks, more like October. So you have time to start those from seed yourself, particularly in Zone 8. This is, that's interesting. I'm going to read this one about the blueberries. Greg, hang on. We have had some good rain, haven't we? He's absolutely right about that. Oh, good. Well, yes, I would prune that, the part that, you can see that is still dead on that that one blueberry, because the rest of them are looking good. I would go ahead and cut that off. I would. I think that's a wise idea. Very smart. So nice. Let's see. Good morning, Paula. How you, I hope you and Kevin are well today. And, oh, Rhett, you're diving into the philosophy today. Do you ever wonder about trees or plants you planted and subsequently moved away from? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been known to drive by and look. I'll tell that story another day.
I did that. I really did a bang-up job on a house that I restored up in Oxford, and mm-hmm. I ended up selling it because, you know, I made some good money on it, but I had put so much time and effort mm-hmm. into landscaping and planting, and I had these beautiful lilies and irises, and I'd transplanted all kinds of stuff from friends that had, you know, that were older and master gardeners.
We just hope that whoever bought it, we hope that whoever bought it is a gardener.
So I went by there about a year after the fact, and it was nothing left. Oh, and I broke my heart.
Yeah, it will.
You know,
it will.
Such is life. But, you know,
Here's my story. Grief does weird things to you, first of all. Let's just put that out there. When my father died, he had spent the last 15 years of his life, or maybe 20, re-landscaping the entire property. And, I mean, just it's a house. I'm not talking about acreage, but he had 25 camellias that were really beautiful, different ones. And so I decided that I could leave 5 for whoever was going to buy the house, but I wanted the other 20. So I dug up and moved 20 established, mature camellia bushes in a trailer, okay? 18 of the 20 survived. Got them into the property. Then, of course, a few years later moved to Mississippi. And when I've gone back, guess what? Most of them are still there. And they're a little tall. They need some pruning. I started to go knock on the door and see if I could help, but I didn't do that. But they were there, so that's a good thing. Not all of them, but some were there. So, yeah, it's really it's a tough one, isn't it? Mike is growing magnificent morning glories in 5-gallon buckets. So if y'all want to ever know what you can grow in 5-gallon buckets, we have got the man. These have been so beautiful. I literally put them on a scroll on my computer at home because I thought they were just so lovely. You've done such a beautiful job with that. So, so nice. Let's see.
Well, I mean, you know, with Paula, she says that, you know, they're eating breakfast and listening, but we don't have a picture of that breakfast.
No,
Paula's
we don't.
Great about getting us some goodies and usually a couple cats involved. Don't, you know, are they eating this morning too with you?
Maybe so.
Maybe so. Yeah, it's early. My cats were frisky.
Someone's asking about my old email address, and it is not, in fact, the one that is maybe the last 5 or 6 years, mamaonair@yahoo.com. So I'm going to put that in and let you know about that one. I love this. For 3 years, this chrysanthemum has blooms on all the sides but the south side of it. Why is that? It grows in the bed on the side of the house. It faces west. I think that side probably gets more assault from heat or weather or something. There's something different about it that has caused that piece of the plant to not be able to put out flowers. What I would do obviously it's not going to help right this minute, but in terms of going forward, when it comes up next year, I would prune that side of it, just that side. Or when it puts on new growth next year, I would prune just that side.
Is it in the ground or is it in the
ground? It's in the ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had to spin my olive. It was, I'd left it in the same place. I finally started spinning it around, and it appreciated it.
It liked that. Yeah, let me have some air, mm-hmm. some sunlight and air on that
and
other side over there.
Side
you know,
along in the
that's
chair,
right.
so to speak.
That's true, though.
Here we go, Paula. That's what I'm talking about. That is a clean plate.
That's funny.
My mamma would have been proud.
Yeah, that's kind of how that goes. The clean plate club is a real thing. I did not have parents who said, you know, the children are starving in India, so you should clean your plate. People have said that stuff, and it really doesn't make much of an impact. But if it was you can't leave the table until you try everything, that's a different story. Then you can take one bite, but you don't have to eat whatever that is, you know.
My father, when he was a kid, is old. He had two brothers. The middle one was about 10 or 11 years older than him, and Uncle Sonny was in charge of my father. My grandparents were doing something, Mama and Papa, and working, and Sonny had to fix my dad dinner, and my dad said, yeah, and he was little. You know, he was probably 7 or 8. And he said, yeah, I want some collard greens. And so Sonny plopped some on the plate, and Dad's like, no, I want a lot more than that. So he, you know, kept putting it on there. And so my dad, as many kids do, took one bite of the collard greens. He said, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle said, well, no, that's not how this works. You asked for it, so you're going to have to eat it. And so he wouldn't eat any of it. So my uncle said, all right, so you're going to have to eat the whole pot. So he sat there until the next morning.
This is such a bad argument to have.
Until like the next morning. He didn't eat them.
I
think he ate enough
not.
Where he at 78, well, if you make him smell a collard, I mean, he basically goes down to his knees and like, oh, my God, don't do it to me. So every blue moon I'll go get like a really fresh thing of collards, leave them in the truck for a little while in the sun.
No.
Let them marinate, and
that's
then take
terrible.
Them in and leave them and just leave it cracked. Oh, it's so funny. But you know, the smell. It's
sure.
something, you know, that
it's
that
a sensory
factory.
Trigger. It'll yeah. grab you, and it will take you places that mm-hmm. you did not expect to go. That is absolutely true. I made cinnamon toast this morning. I could have been 7 years old. That's the first thing I ever learned how to cook was cinnamon toast. They trusted me with, you know, one piece of bread and one piece of toaster oven. That was all I could get to at that point. They were not. Now, it's pretty soon, you know, you get to be around 8. In my world, you have to learn how to do things like make stuff, cook rice and stuff. But
I hate trying rice. I'm not a good rice cooker. I don't know why, but it always comes out sticky or not right. And some people are just experts at it.
I'm real good at it.
Are you? You mm-hmm. have to teach me.
Now,
I'm
unfortunately,
bad.
You read the directions and you do what they say, and that's not what you should do.
No, I'm a directions reader.
Yeah,
I mean,
not
I follow
in this case.
The instructions.
Not in this case.
No, doesn't seem to do the job.
It turns out that not only do babies babble before they learn vocalizations, and it is, in fact, a wonderful thing, but it turns out that if you are deaf and you are able to sign, the baby will sign back to you at the babbling point. And it still is just babble, but it's the way that we learn to communicate is with another person. We oftentimes... Well, we wonder sometimes about kids that want to be around all the other people and other kids that don't, you know, what that is. There's a spectrum of this. I'm not talking about some sort of neurologic spectrum. I'm just saying the engagement spectrum. You do have to encourage shy people, like I was, to be around other people. You may not want to encourage them quite as much as my family did because I turned out to be more gregarious than they wanted. But you also have to encourage the people who always want to be around people to understand how they can be by themselves. And those are the sorts of things that we have to understand come from the way we learn to communicate. Babbling is important. So the next time somebody says, you're just babbling, say, uh-huh, that's right, I am.
I was going to say, I think I still babble a bit.
Sometimes, at least.
Mm-hmm.
That is so pretty. My goodness, what a beautiful picture I'm staring at. That's just gorgeous. I found out something this week, y'all. Y'all know that I have named the chickadee my spirit animal because that is, in fact, the creature of communication and cheeriness. But I did not also know that I'm an opsimoth. I had no idea. But it comes from the words that mean late. And the word that means learn. It's a person who begins to learn things a little later in life. We all hope for that. We all hope we don't have to get out of here with the same little amount of knowledge that we had in the first place. So I think it's a really wonderful thing.
I think I'm getting dumber. What do I need to do?
Oh, dear.
You know what I'm saying? As I get older, it's like, I don't feel, I don't feel like I'm an idiot or anything. Like, I can't. You know, hold a conversation. But I feel as I get older, even though I learn more, it seems like you almost need to get rid of certain things that you've learned to make room.
Yeah, you do have to do that. You absolutely
that's
do.
Accurate or
but
not.
We don't have to get rid of this.
No.
Because this is Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to
go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, but leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. You may be able to save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Why choose?
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, in a way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Oh, rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, hey, mama, rock me.
I have the greatest friends. I have the finest people in my subscriber base to All Things Garden Mama Weekly, but I also have some very kind and wonderful folks. Yes, I was sick. Okay, y'all did a great job and kept me from having to crawl up here and not make any sense at all because I was sick, and I appreciated that last week. But since then, I have gotten some of the sweetest and kindest bits and pieces of information, such as what to do, how to take care of myself, how am I doing, and what music to listen to during my recuperation. So I have to tell you that I've been listening to Keb Moe a lot, all right? I'm a big fan anyway, and Darius Rucker there of Wagon Wheel just did a collaboration not that long ago with him, and it is really fun. So I've been listening to one really old dude, one fairly old dude, singing things that I had not heard before, and I don't get a chance to listen to new music that much because I tend to be kind of stuck in my own genres like most of us are. So I'm here to encourage you to get yourself together and be just a little bit more optimist. Go learn something new today. It's good for us. Really good questions coming in both in the Facebook group as well as here. The Facebook group includes Patsy, who has lantana and yellow bells that she has rooted, wants to know if this is a good time to plant them. Absolutely. Zone 8 particularly, but also even warmer areas further south, we're beginning to see a little bit of a moderation in the climate for the not when it's not fall yet, but things are a little bit better. So by all means, give yourself that chance to do that. Should we prune the limelight hydrangea? No, not right now. Not right now. All right. Lance, tell me about something different. I know it's National South Carolina Day. It's Labor Day weekend. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll have a Saturday afternoon off for probably the last one for a little while with football. So I'm just going to chill out today. Had a fun night last night. Kickoff of high school football. Our listeners, I'm sure they're going to be doing a lot like I'm doing today. Going to probably be tuning in to some ball.
There was a lot of football last night.
And yeah, 170, 180 games I think we went through.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's impressive the amount of teams and games that we're able to get through, and a lot of it, you know, is helped through our listener base, our wonderful family. Just like here on Saturdays, we get great participation, and you know, you got it's so appreciated, and it really is an honor to get to do that. So I think I'm going to relax today, enjoy a little R&R. Read an article the other day that said,
baseball.
Yeah, watch a little baseball and football. And but there was an article the other day, and we covered it, it said that if you get more sleep on the weekends, you're less likely to have heart issues.
Well, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. I'm sad to learn it at this point in my life, but, you know, at the same time. People who have been known to catch up on their sleep on the weekend have been accused of a lot of things. And one of those is not taking better care of their heart. So I was glad to see that study. I think that's very helpful.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to have a enjoyable evening, I'm sure. Ole Miss will be on, State's on, Southern's on. Everybody's
playing.
What
could be more fun
than that? and then it just kind of continues on this opening weekend. I'll get out in the yard and probably do a little clipping of some roses and get some deadheads off there. And
my neighborhood barbecue place let you know they're going to be closed, so they had only pickup orders for people, and it was quite a scene in their parking lot yesterday. So I expect there's a lot of places like that. Some people cook, some people order out. You know.
Now, if I'm not assuming that you're talking about Pig and Pint, but that bologna sandwich up there.
Still calling
your
name.
I might ride by there. I get done here today.
There are many, many wonderful things in Fondren, not the least of which, because this lets me roll right in and tell you that coming up on October 5th, this program will be there, kicking off the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in the Fondren neighborhood. It's going to be fun. There's more and more stuff going on at Fondren Yard and the station and that little area in there where we've got some really cool things to look at and to experience as well. The Garden Mama Show will be there 8 a.m. on Saturday, October 5th. I hope y'all will come. Go to FondrenGardenTour.com and check out what all else is going on. It's an evolving website, so go check it out. Fall Foliage, Tracy and Starville, this looks great. This is so pretty. I do love some foliage, some parsley in the autumn. That's nice. Let's see. Ellen in Ellisville is going to come in here with us in a moment. And Rebecca's in Adamsville. She okay, I hope it worked. This is interesting. We've been talking about this vine at Rebecca's house for a long time, and she's having a little bit more success with it. Let's talk to Ellen in Ellisville. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling today. What's on your mind?
I got some huge blueberry bushes, and they have put out, but they have grown together, and I'm wondering if it would hurt to go ahead and trim them back and down some now, or should I wait till later in the year?
Well, if has it been more than a month since you stopped picking them?
Oh yeah, they done.
Well, you need to. You're
going
to need to wait.
Okay,
you'll need to wait until next year and do it right after you pick, right after you harvest everything.
Okay.
It's really best done then. I got mine done this summer. I don't prune them every year, but I did do some pruning this year, and what I've noticed is that they're already just covered up in new growth, and that's what we want. So if we prune them late like this, then you'll get a whole lot of new growth, which is vulnerable to the winter, and we don't want that. We want them to be happy next year and make you lots of berries.
Oh, my goodness. I had so many berries. I was hanging in tags this year.
I love
year.
It. That's wonderful. It was a very, very good year. We're lucky.
Yes, it was. And what about my pear tree? I have a pear tree, and it put out that the limbs was hanging to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When should I trim that?
Prune that one in January. Yeah, prune that in January while it's dormant. It's another case where if you prune it now, it'll make a whole lot of leaves and new growth, and that will be vulnerable to the winter. You don't want that. You want it to be a nice, strong tree. So do that in January.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank
I listen
you.
To y'all. Every Saturday.
Thank you very much.
I hear y'all some on Sunday.
Oh, good. Thank you.
On the You're welcome. Y'all have a blessed day.
Take care of yourself. Thanks. You know, we do have an awful lot of things that get big in the summer we'd like to prune, and some of them we can. For example, the Eliagnus hedge between me and the neighbor. I noticed the other day that he's got his guys pruning over on the other side of it, so that means I'm going to have to prune on my side of it or else it's going to lean too far one way and not the other. But those are the kind of things that we can do because they are absolutely indestructible. If there's new growth on that Eliagnus and it gets to be winter, the Eliagnus isn't going to care. It's an established, hardy, very hardy shrub. But I would not suggest if you have, for example, just planted some things, some new ones, I wouldn't do that. I would let them wait a while. Let them get established. You don't need to prune everything all the time. I just gave somebody permission to put those pruning shears up, didn't I? Good for me. All right. I'm Garden Mama. I appreciate you being here today. We'll be back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Janice.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, today is National Eat Outside Day, so I'm thinking that picnic table, maybe a blanket on the ground if your area's not too damp from the rain this week. I'm thinking it's a good day for that, but please. Have you noticed that the rest of the country is now discovering that mosquitoes carry illnesses and terrible problems? Suddenly, there's people that yes, we have to take care of the mosquitoes. They always wondered why we sprayed for mosquitoes in the South. And yes, I grant you, it's not as effective as we wish it was, but
I think they're getting immune to the spray, but, you know.
Of course they are.
Tough.
Insects adapt much faster than we do. I think as much as anything else, it's probably the exhaust from the little Jeep that they drive around that kills them as much as it would be any pesticide. Because guess what? They're very, 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 very resilient is the right word for that. They, in other words, each generation that survives gets a better opportunity to survive. And that's unfortunately the way that we end up breeding pesticide resistance into our insects. So I think it's interesting. The good news is perhaps we will get more and more research. You understand that until malaria became something that we experienced as Americans in building the Panama Canal, we experienced it, but I mean in greater numbers. We didn't really go into figuring that out. And finally we did. Now they're going to perhaps have to figure out more. We know here, you don't go out at dawn, you don't go out at dusk, you wear your repellent and you wear long sleeves as often as you can. And yes, you do things to get rid of the standing water and you set up fans.
Yeah, and you make sure you have your vodka tonics or gin and tonics as your medicine. The English figured that one out.
They worked on that for a long time. That's very true. Lime trees are helpful too. Very, very helpful. Mike, welcome in from Houston. What's going on? We're admiring your morning glories.
Well, I'll tell you what. You talk about the standing water and don't feed the mosquitoes. Well, I feed my mosquitoes in the standing water in the buckets to my morning glories.
Well, I hope that they're not bothering you too much.
Oh, they're not bothering me a bit. I got something. I got an insect repellent. You can get buy at the box store. It's got 40% DEET in it, and they don't mess with me at all.
I guess not. I will. I'm one of those people that stuff makes me swoon, probably because I've worn it all my life. But I have to use other options. But that's a. Certainly something that will keep them away from you is the best way to go. I'll probably need a fan on top of my head, but anyway.
And a very, very reasonable price. But don't get the aerosol, get the pump spray.
Mm-hmm. Always.
You always get more.
So how many morning glories are you growing this year? I'm trying to see how many pictures I've had, but how many did you plant? How many did you do?
Oh, gosh. What I did, I went to the seed catalogs, and if I see a purdy one, only ones I have not got is a yellow. Mm-hmm. I got peach, I got variegated, I got dark black almost, I got blues, it's trimmed in white, I got some got stars in them, you won't believe what I got.
And what's the secret? What did you fertilize them with?
Nothing this year, absolutely nothing.
Just your compost that you made?
Mm-hmm. No, just from the buckets I had last year.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, they are beautiful.
And every day between 8 and 8:30, I go out there and take a picture of a new one.
Well, that's adding to your collection. That's one of those things that eventually becomes a calendar. You know what I mean? The morning glory of March, the morning glory of April. You can have a wonderful gift for everyone in your family by using those. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing them because they're just beautiful.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
On the cypress, red cypress, the hummingbird flower, what do you want to call it? I've got some. It's got an orange center and an outside red. Is that? I've never seen anything like that.
Well, they
got a solid color.
The center of it is kind of yellowish orange of each of those little cypress vine flowers, and I have seen them end up with more yellow than red, yes. But I think that's just one of those things that happens with seeds. They just do that sometimes. I don't know that I don't know that you could make it happen, is what I'm saying.
Right. And also, those morning glories, some of those are as big as your hand.
Isn't that fun? You have really figured this one out. I'm really glad you decided to let us all see them because they're pretty.
I tell you what, I enjoy it.
Good. See, that's why we garden. We like it.
I say one thing about the Garden Mama show or even talk radio. I got an alarm clock out in the garden and also the front yard. Every time I go by it, I touch it, and it's already tuned up for Mississippi Talk Radio.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, greatly appreciated there.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay. Catch you later.
Thank you much. Oh, a good question from Kathy. She's got her vegetable garden fenced in, and she wants to know if she puts the tulips in there so the deer can't get to them. I think it'd be beautiful. I would love that. And yes, the deer will, and sometimes the squirrels too, will get after those tulips. But I really do think that's a great idea. Really, really smart. Real good idea. Okay, now. Interestingly enough, I don't think that one's for me. I'll let you look at that. Oh, that's really nice. How to germinate muscadine seeds. Muscadine seeds are generally one of those things that that are eaten by something else, and then they're planted. So I will have to tell you, I don't know how to start them from the seeds that you save, but I will look and see. You saw that I sent you the screenshot of radar from Katrina. This was this week, you understand. 19 years, is that right? We just rolled over that. Changed everything for many of us.
Ricky Matthews with Super Talk, host of the Ricky Matthews Show and Super Talk Outdoors. He had, and I would, if I were y'all, and y'all, you know, want to hear some stories about folks that lived on the coast during that time. Ricky's story was very, you know, just almost heartbreaking, but yet thank God that people didn't get hurt. But it was just a microcosm of what happened on the coast during Katrina. And when you look at that picture, that is one of the most amazing shots you'll ever see. My mother worked the catastrophe side of that, so I got to see firsthand the devastation, and she worked in it. And I can tell you that thank God we don't have storms like that very often. I mean, man,
and
that was rough.
And as the saying goes, not today, Satan.
Yeah,
not today.
Give us a break.
Give us a break.
Yeah, Lord, watch over it, because that was, you know, I don't care if it was 40 years ago or 20 years ago, recovering. Although the coast has done amazing, it's still coming back from getting hammered like that.
We were Cat 1 here, and it was quite an experience to drive through to come to do a radio shift, I'll tell you. We were all news all the time, of course, at that point. And it was really amazing. My greenhouse blew apart. Still don't know where it went. Never did find it. But 75, 80 mile an hour winds will do that.
Probably sitting in like South Carolina somewhere.
Yeah, took the wooden shingles off my house. Anyway,
Paula, 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was pregnant with her son, 8 months. No water, lights for 2 weeks. Thankfully, had the generator. And I remember I didn't know you could make a pot of coffee and read the news. Basically, I had the same experience a little bit. I didn't have power for a couple of weeks here, and finally it popped back on, and it was just like, oh, thank you. It was humid and hot.
I'm one of the fortunate few. I've said this often. I live between, you know, two fire departments and three hospitals. Mm-hmm. So when it comes back on, it comes back on. Mm-hmm. But we had clean water when other people didn't. My house was the bathroom, the shower facility for all the teenage girls that I knew for about 3 weeks, because they didn't have any water at their houses, I should say. But it's what we do. We pitch in. We make sure that things happen. And there are a lot of stories. You know, our own boss here has incredible ones. And we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to remember. And I'm glad we're here to tell the tale.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I remember having to go downtown
to my office at the time. And if I wanted to shower or really, you know, have some light for a minute, went down there. And it was a kind of a relief, because I don't care. You know, it's if people like to have that kind of a lights out experience, usually it's like at camp or something. But you don't want it for 2 weeks in your house. Animals, kids, all that. It was
pretty
a challenge.
The wallpaper starts peeling off the wall.
Right.
You know, but you don't need that.
But, you know, it's one of those things you deal with in the electrical companies out there. And, I mean, you know, you got to pat those guys on the back, because when it's lightning and trees are laying on stuff, they're out there doing the tough work to get the power back.
That's right.
And so with any storms that blow through, thank you guys, the line workers and electrical guys out there and girls, for taking care of the very dangerous and extremely important electrical grid. God, I mean, it's almost out of sight, out of mind, until you see 40 trucks rolling down the highway from all over the country coming to fix things. And it's amazing.
It's a big deal, and we're just really fortunate that that's how that works out, because it's not one of those things you can do for yourself. You can say you're off the grid, but your world still has a lot of connectivity that it needs to maintain.
Yeah, you can be off the grid while you're camping or something, but being at the house and not being able to, you know, get anything done.
Look, just don't take me off the grid unless I can have a couple of people to fan me, because it gets too hot.
Oh, man.
You know?
Thank goodness we've got a little breeze lately.
Trey, these are beautiful beauty berries. These are magnificent beauty berries. I saw somebody putting some up yesterday, and they were just lovely.
They almost don't look real. They're so pretty.
I know. That's what's so cool about them. the best fake-looking fruit. Okay, I got one for you, folks. Do you remember the unfortunate incident where an Alabama fan poisoned the trees at Auburn.
Oh, yeah, that's very well known.
Mm-hmm. Well, the name of that
Harvey
chemical.
Updike.
Yep, the name of that chemical is tibutheorin. Tibutheorin, okay? It stays in the soil longer than Mr. Updike. He has passed, I believe. Never did pay the $800,000 fine either, from what I'm able to read. But that's a nasty thing. And you think that you would think that might happen once, okay? I'm not going to say that I don't know that one of my neighbors took a sprayer of some sort of weed killer and attacked another neighbor's lawn once. But all of them are gone now, so they can't fight about it. But it really did look pretty ugly there for a while. Well, in case you think that this sort of behavior is only the province of raucous football fans or angry neighbors, we now have a case. And this is in really fancy-wancy in Maine. This is... You hardly ever see pariah in a headline, but these people have become pariahs. They bought a house on the coast, and their view was, quote-unquote, spoiled by the neighbor's tree. So, yes, they used this same chemical and went over and poisoned the neighbor's tree. Well, here's the other problem. Gets into the groundwater, gets down to the beach, killed everything. All right? And, of course, the people are now facing a lot more than $800,000 in fines and 6 months in jail, like Mr. Updike faced. They're having a whole, there's a whole lot more going on here. Why in the world would anybody do that?
Craziness.
Well, I think it's selfishness.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Everybody wants to talk about narcissism. I think some people are just selfish. They do know the difference. You know, they say narcissists don't actually know the difference.
You know the difference. I mean,
surely you do.
You know the difference. That's this crutch of, oh, well, my childhood or these things. Even though you may have not had a great childhood or maybe it was tough.
Oh, that's very true.
All that can be true, but you still know right from wrong.
And what if you had every advantage in the world and you're able to buy a house on the Maine coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. You still know right from wrong.
You still know right from wrong somewhere in there. Ugh.
It's like you don't go into somebody's yard and take the weed eater to the rose bush. No. That's wrong. You know that. Unless they said, hey, would you please come and cut down the
tree? Yeah, unless they actually want
that. Unless they ask you to do that.
Yeah.
And then you know better than that.
I have had to apologize for someone that accidentally took out a tree. it was a little bitty tree, granted, but it was an accident. I had to apologize for that for a long time. Had to go buy a bigger tree and replace it, too. That's what you do. That's what you do. But not these folks. I just think this is crazy. It's an arboreal scandal, according to the folks in Maine at the summer enclave. Now, just for the punchline, the person who went about stealthily looking in the shelves and finding out who had this chemical and what had happened and all this was one of the heirs. One of the widows of the heirs to the L.L. Bean business, okay? So she had plenty of time on her hands to go look for this stuff, but she turned out to be the detective that sleuthed around and found out what had happened. Thank you, Trey. I think Trey is anxious. He's telling us we need to be, well, not so calm because it's football time.
Yeah, I already had the last night.
Why are my Tigers throwing me off by playing on Sunday? I don't.
That's going to be a game there.
It is going to be. It's going to be good.
I'm thinking they're probably going to boat race USC, but still at the same time, it's two battles of very well-known teams, and first game of the year, anything can happen.
You
never really know what's going to happen.
You honestly don't know. You just. It's like taking that marching band out for the first spin, too. Even no matter how much you've practiced, you just don't know what's going to happen. You absolutely do not
break
know.
Off on a 90-degree right angle and everybody goes left.
Somebody, yeah, it has happened. Not to me personally, but it has happened. What do you think about that whole business of what creatures eat, determining how they turn into different species of the, you know, in other words, bats are... all descended from one bat. Well, I mean, not one individual bat, but one particular kind of bat. And I really think this is, if somebody says to me, okay, I'm going to give you a job, all right? This is going to be a job at the Stowers Institute for Medical Research. And what you're going to do is catch and release almost 200 bats, first of all. How much time can you spend at night doing this? But they determined that they had 29 different species. And why they're doing this is to figure out how come they don't all eat insects now. The study is telling us, this is so interesting to me because it gives us great implications for what we might be able to find out that would influence all of us. They're seeing a trait they didn't know was possible. And that's, to me, that's the best kind of science. In this particular case, they've figured out that some of them can live on sugar and they metabolize it properly. So those of us who would like to see humans be able to metabolize sugar better, we're going to have to get a little batty. We'll be right back.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Have the glory share,
turn the lights down low.
Turn your lights down low
and listen to the master's radio.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
We've sent that rib.
Keep wearing your green.
Now, come on, who else is going to rhyme your rah-rahs with your push-up bra? That's fun stuff. Crazy, crazy, crazy lyrics. People sitting up late at night writing songs. You know what rah-rahs are, huh? No? Saddle Oxfords.
Who?
Saddle Oxfords.
You're talking about the shoes?
The black and white
shoes. Okay,
yeah.
Got you now.
Got your new rah-rahs on. That's what that is. Somebody
Thank
else
you.
Is going to tell
glad
me
I'm glad I learned
else.
That. Yeah,
see,
I had no idea.
New word today.
You just never know, do you?
you never know why. It was a big deal when they let us go. Those of us who had to wear orthopedic shoes, they were all solid black and very hunky and ugly. Okay? So when they finally let us wear Saddle Oxfords, they were our rah-rahs, and we were very happy about that. Our feet had matured enough to wear actual shoes instead of those. I don't even know. Things that they were trying to straighten our feet out. It worked to some extent, but you know, they tried to do everything. We all try to do all sorts of stuff to our kids that may or may not work. I don't know. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. This the various and sundry tips and whatnot that I give you today, I hope that you will be interested in. And if you got questions during the week, it's mamaonair@yahoo.com. Let's talk to Jack in Utica about some corn poppies. Hey, Jack.
Hey, well, I tried them last year, and I had sort of success. What I have is a side yard, and it gets a ton of sun, and there's not much lawn. It's pretty much, you know, patchy here and there, and there's a lot of, not exposed, but you know what I mean,
of the
clay and lurs. What we have in Raymond is almost a sandy clay mixture, and I call it lurs. It may not strictly be lurs. But I had
it's real
quality,
close.
You know, I'm semi-kind, yeah. I kind of had a semi-success with them last year, but I want to hold, I want to cover the field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I have one of those things. It's on a roller. It looks like a spiky thing on a roller that kind of pokes holes in the soil kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I was going to run that over the lot, you know, hither and yon, and see, and then just throw a ton of the poppy seeds out there. I mean, you can get like 2,000 for $5.
If I can get you to do one thing in between there, if you will get...
Okay.
I don't know how big the area is, but if, you know, if however much of it you can do, I would love for you to put about a half an inch of just basic compost on top of that soil as you're knocking it in, because you're not actually tilling it in, but you're going to actually bang it a little bit to get the soil mixed up with what else you're putting out there. And if you can do that, I think what happens in terms of poppies, we always talk about seeding poppies away from the soil because our germination rates are not great in heavy soil. Surprise, we have heavy soil. But if you'll add a little bit of compost to it, a little bit of manure, something that you've got that's a little bit spongier feeling, you know what I mean? That's got, you've got your clay and you got your sand, but we're trying to put a little more body in there. It's called tilth in the horticulture world, but it just means the way the soil feels. If you can do that, then, yes, I would certainly go ahead and fling the seeds out. My question would be whether or not the birds are helping themselves or whether you need to cover up the whole area with something. But if they're not, I mean, then by all means, just overseed and let's see what we get.
All right. I don't think the birds bother them at all. They're more interested in the sunflowers. But
They will pick and choose.
Okay, they will.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, when?
If I plant corn, the birds are going to show up from all over the world.
No. Listen to me. Corn poppy.
Right. No,
poppy.
That's what I'm saying. If I plant corn in the summertime, I'll have all the birds. I've never had them attack my flowers, but I have had people tell me that they will eat the seeds. So it's
okay. When should I plant the seeds?
Oh, like any minute now.
October?
Minute now. All sooner than that. In fact, in Raymond, you're going to have some days next week that the temperatures are not going to get out of the 80s, that it's a perfect time to take advantage of it. We've had some rain. We've had some, you know, our soil's in slightly better condition. And if you can go ahead and get that done, you'll be happy that you did.
Groovy. Thank you so much.
There's a word. I love that. Thanks for calling.
That is a word that is not used enough anymore.
Not nearly enough. Perhaps we just don't feel groovy all the time, but we could be. I associate that word with Snoopy from Peanuts dancing on top of his house because he was always feeling groovy. That's a fun one. There are a couple of other things that you can be doing right now. If you have not yet harvested your actual eating sweet potatoes, you need to be doing that if you haven't already done that. And the same thing is true if you do not want the sweet potato vines to stay in the place that they're in. If you have them planted in the flower bed, for example, and you have daffodils under there, or you're going to come up under and plant something else new in there, maybe you're trying to grow ranunculus, I don't know, whatever you're doing, this is a good time to get those out. I know they probably have many, many miles of vine attached to them at this point, and some people will wait. But if that bed is somewhere that you need the space to plant something else, even if it's in a container, this is a great time to harvest those potatoes, set them aside, and let them dry a little bit, and put them away for next year. They will stay in the ground, and sometimes they will come back and sprout. Just depends on where you are. But you may or may not want them there next year. So give yourself the opportunity to move some things. I don't know if you have considered planting some perennials in flats to plant next month. But if you are interested in growing phlox from seed or from even some of the daisies, you might be able to get seed for Becky daisies or some of the Alaskas. I'm really fond of candy tuft. It's not the hardiest in the world, but it is a beautiful flower that if you can seed it now, you will have flowers late Thanksgiving, Christmas area of the year, and then it's a different flower. It's something that you won't have already seen. Something interesting to me to try that, and why not? We're getting lovely. We have lots of I have to say that everything looks lovely, Mark. Those are beautiful. Even I look good, so thank you. That's fun. It's really great fun. There are a couple of things going on that you may or may not know about. And I should probably ask you whether or not you do. Is anybody reseeding a lawn or resodding a lawn this year? I think this is a time that you might want to consider that. I apologize. I can't reach the buttons. I'm sorry. Anyway, if you are thinking about that, I would go ahead and order the sod now so that you know what you're going to get. And as soon as it can be cut and delivered to you, it will be, and it'll be nice and ready to plant. This is a good time also for, you've got just, you know, you've got the whole month of September, you've got the whole month of October before it's going to get really cold here in the Southeast. So that's plenty of time to do things like patching your Bermuda grass and getting things organized, getting your pre-emerge weed control products out onto the lawn if you need to do that, and giving yourself the opportunity really to get into the next phase without being late. We always look in the springtime and think, oh, all these weeds are everywhere. Now what am I going to do about them? What do I spray? Well, if you pre-emerge the lawn at this point in the year, those spring weeds are not going to be as big a problem. So I hope that you will consider doing a little bit of looking ahead. It's the same thing, for example, when you go to put up some of your tools, if you're done with one thing or another, if you're finished, say, for example, with tomatoes, you're going to want to take those tomato cages and put them somewhere. You don't need to leave them laying around all over the place. The same thing is true of trellises. Some of them are going to need to be cleaned up this winter. Some of them may need paint. Some of them may just need to be put aside so that you can take a look and see if they need any strengthening. They may need a couple of nails or staples or something. But this is a good time to make those decisions. It's not too hot to work, but it's also a really pleasant time to be looking ahead. Corinne in Jackson has, this is a really good question. She's got a large container that had anemones and ranunculus bulbs in it last year. Will they come back? The chances of them coming back are not terrific just because we have such hot summers. But I would not go digging up or replanting or anything until we see whether they might pop up. And you could certainly take like a plastic spoon or something and see whether or not there might be, you know, a little indicator that there are some bulbs where you know that they used to be. Usually they will just burn up after they have finished, but I don't want to say that they will because I don't know that for sure. That's cute, Ron. I love that. This is the classic when you plant those cattails and you get all the cats in the container. It's a good one. That green and white rose is very dramatic. I have to say, green flowers to me are always interesting, and sometimes I like them and sometimes I don't, but that's an interesting one for sure. That is really something. Thank you, Chad. We're here now from Ocean Springs and Van Cleve this morning. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. I want you to take a look, if you will, at your perennial plants. I was just out this week trimming back the phlox that have begun to die down, and also taking a look at the Autumn Joy sedum, which have fallen out of their bed and are now trying to take over part of my, I think they're going to climb in the back window here pretty soon, but they've got nice flowers on them, and I really do want them to go ahead and bloom up. But I got to say, Clara Curtis mums are looking even better. This is the time of year that you really want to see how the crown is doing. If the crown's in good health, those perennials are going to go straight on through the winter and be perfectly happy when we get to the other side. But if you got some things, if things are a little squishy, for example, if you just put your hand on that, say, purple coneflower crown and it feels a little soft, you may want to make sure it's not staying too wet, because that's when we begin to lose them, are in cold, wet soils. Take a look at them. Nothing's funnier sometimes than the way we describe our plants. I just harvested my puny potatoes. Can these potatoes be replanted later as seed potatoes? Yes, this is, in fact, if you're going to plant them right away, because this is the last point in this year. Now, if you want to save them, you can plant in February. But there are people who plant potatoes in the fall and get a good result from that. So if you want to plant them now, plant them right now. But if not, you're going to want to store them in the same way that you would store the ornamental sweet potatoes, or the way you would store caladium bulbs, those kind of things. That means to say, let them be in boxes, flats, bags, whatever you're going to do, but don't let them touch each other. If you need to put them into some kind of a little, maybe it's a paper, but not a plastic bag. You don't want to have them have an opportunity to rot because they stayed too damp or too moist. Okay, we've got collections of green men statuaries and wall plates today. When you visit with us over on the supertalk.tv, I hope that you'll enjoy that. That's fun. Yeah, I would go ahead and plant those potatoes now. Ordinarily, we plant in February and harvest by Mother's Day. So we're at about that point now where if we plant them now, we have just about enough time to get them in most of the parts of our listening area. Another one of the other things that you want to do for your perennials at this point in the season, even if you're not digging and dividing, which a lot of people are doing at this point, but even if you're not, you want to go in and groom them. You want to clean them up. You want to get out the old flower heads and the old stems and things because you don't need those in the bed. They're not going to turn into compost, and you would really rather they not be there to attract things like Pythium fungus and one thing and another that can happen to plant parts that are left in the flower bed. So go ahead and get those out. Get them into the compost. They'll be fine. I also want you to consider that funny little tool that we all have at least one of that has three fingers on it. It's not a fork, and it's not a spoon, and it's not, you know, it's a hand tool that you scratch with. It's called a cultivator. Duh. Well, this is a great time to go around those perennials and get your mulch worked in that has rotted and give them just a little bit of a boost. You don't want to bury anything, but you always want to have a little bit extra around the outside of that crown. It's a really good way to take care of things. And, of course, to give yourself some opportunity to add in more mulch if you need to. A lot of us do at this point because the summer's been pretty hot and long. Pretty caladiums, really nice. Yes, you will be able, what you'll be doing with these, Greg, in terms of the caladiums is as they die back, they'll die all the way down, the leaves will get brown, and at that point, the leaves will come off. You don't want to cut them if you don't have to. You can just let them fall off. Then you take that bulb, take it out of the soil, rough it up just a little bit. That means to say get the dirt off of it, and then you're going to store it where it won't freeze and it won't be in direct sun. I like beer flats in the garage. You know, that's a good way to think about it, that sort of space and that sort of environment. You don't need to bring them in the house. You don't want to put them in the refrigerator. You just want them to where they'll be dry and not frozen and not touching each other. And that's caladiums. We'll be right back.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Harvested in June and July, Mississippi-grown sweet corn arrives just in time for your cookout or outdoor get-together. But you better be quick. Once Mississippi-grown sweet corn appears on your local farmers market shelves, it disappears just as fast. There are so many ways to cook and eat Mississippi-grown sweet corn, but of course our favorite is corn on the cob.
Sweet corn, just one of the many foods the Mississippi farmer grows for you. The farm families.
Why choose?
There is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time. time to weed.
Yeah, it's a good thing you can't hear us singing. A really good thing, but we do like that tune. And in fact, the turning of the seasons is one of the parts of our lives that we all look forward to. I'm not going to tell you it isn't going to be still be hot. It will. It's going to still be humid. The tropics are still percolating out there. We're not done yet. But right now, we're not as droughted as we were, and it's also not as hot as it has been. So those are the things we have to be grateful for and thankful for and very, very happy about. I have no problems with that. Poblanos, oh, these are so beautiful. Did you see those? I'm so ready for chiles rellenos. And in fact, I was telling Tracy in Starkville that I just saw a recipe for chiles rellenos that are a seafood version. They're made with shrimp and I think mussels, but it just really did tickle me to see those growing because they are beautiful. This is actually the best time to be harvesting peppers of one sort and another. This is the climate that they love. Jim's in Laurel. Let's talk about some garlic. What's going on?
Hey, Garden Mama, I really like your bumper music.
Thank you.
Now, about 4 years ago, Garden Mama calls you Garlic Mama. About 4 years ago, Mama, I found some wild garlic growing, and I dug it up. Every year, I plan to get it. The bush hog from the county will get it first. I got it about 4 years ago, brought it here, let it dry out. The next year, I planted it. It growed. It done pretty good. It produced nice-sized garlic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saving it every year and replanting it. So I can get enough to do something with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing nothing in a hurry. I just take my time.
Sure.
But I noticed every year I plant this stuff, there's less and less cloves on that garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Are there a reason behind that?
Yeah, you need to fertilize them.
All righty.
I promise. I mean, the garlic can go, you can harvest your own garlic and plant it every year for decades. But you got to fertilize the planting when you plant it if you want them to produce as well as they can. So get you some vegetable garden fertilizer and go after it.
I'll do that. And I've been listening a lot, but I haven't been calling. I hope y'all doing all right.
Thank you very much. All is well here. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Y'all have heard me talk about my friend, the garlic farmer in New York, upper upstate New York, who grew up next door to me, behind me. And she's written a book. She's going to be touring in the South. So I'm excited. I get to go talk to my garlic farmer friend. It's going to be some fun. There's always, and the recipes are not about cooking with garlic. They're just recipes about everywhere that she's lived and all the things that she's grown, which is quite frankly the sort of book that we all should write because people would like to know going forward what it was that we were doing. How did you grow that? Did it work? You know, did that complicated recipe you found for the weed control actually work, or did pulling it up work better? How's it going, you know? If you've been trying to get rid of the smilax at your place, right after it rains, get out there and start digging it up because you know that greenbrier is going to just get worse as the winter comes along. It is not one of the vines that just dies and happily disappears. It's going to get a little bit worse, and you don't need that. Truly do not need that. I have a couple of other tips for you today. Something I need to do is repot and fertilize my Christmas cactus. Now they don't need to be moved into a bigger pot, but I do have very overgrown Christmas cactus, and I can see that they're getting a little woody inside the base of them. So I need to take that out of that pot, put in some fresh soil. They'll probably go right back in the same container that they're in. But this is the time when you really want to make sure that you've got them outdoors for the cooler nights that are coming, and you've got them watered and fertilized well so that they can be setting buds for the coming season. It doesn't matter really if it's Christmas cactus, Thanksgiving cactus, or Easter cactus, all of those have the same reaction to fertilizing them and giving them a good amount of water and fertilizer now, as well as if they need to be moved around or repotted, go ahead and do that. It's really very, very important. It's also time to be, which I can't do, Paul the poinsettia is now 5 feet tall and not going to be able to be put into a closet. But if you can do that to your poinsettia that you have grown and maintained maybe from last year or the year before, take that container, put it in the closet at 6 p.m., take it back out at 6 a.m., and make sure that you do this from now each night, don't leave it in there all day. Take it back out or take the cover off if you've got it under a box. And make sure that you're doing this because this is what will bring the flowers on and therefore the red bracts at a time closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas. We call it forcing flowers to get them to bloom at the time we want them to. I would like to think of it as coaxing them, but yes, in this case, they need darkness. They need 12 hours of darkness. They need to believe that it's the middle of the winter, and in fact, it's not. So you gotta make that happen. Someone gave me last week a couple of frozen persimmons because I had been talking about the fact that, and she said that they realized that they had more persimmons than they had appetite for them, and they froze them, and sure enough, I was right. They do taste like frozen yogurt when you cut the top off of them after they've been frozen. But what she said was that she really needed to put them into two layers of plastic because the skin got kind of burned, and I hadn't thought about that. So I want to pass that on to you. If you're freezing persimmons, then by all means give yourself the chance to freeze them so that they can survive. Okay? Okay. Let's see. Let me see who this is. I got one more text coming up here this morning. Oh, that's lovely. This is Angela from Cortland. Beautiful, beautiful whiskey barrel. I really love caladiums and begonias together. And I like how she has used both the bronze-colored leaves begonias as well as the green-leafed ones. They look really nice together. And in this particular setting with the caladiums, they're just beautiful. That's really pretty. We'll save that and use it next week. Beautiful, beautiful. South Haven's looking good really today. Yeah, we were in touch with her before about her gripeweed. I went out the other morning and started pulling gripeweed, and I realized that I'm way behind. It's tiny, but even when it's 2 inches tall, it can start making those seeds on the back of the leaf. So don't put off pulling it. You really do need to get out there and gripe at the gripeweed. Oh my goodness. This is, I'm going to have to tell you that there are so many wonderful opportunities to talk about plants, to share our love of them. Paula from Dentville, I really appreciate this story. They put the potatoes in the potato silo after, you can tell she didn't grow up in where they had cellars. They had silos like us. That November, there was a tornado. And oh my goodness, the potatoes were all over the place. Guess what? The next spring they came up in the woods, there'd be potato plants. You know? This makes me think about when I had a car that got flooded and I didn't know that there was a package of collard seeds in the trunk of the car. And they came up all over the inside of the trunk of the car. It was great. Took out that carpet, put it in my friend's garden, you know, and on to more greens. Oh, another good question. Why Swiss chard? Because I don't like beet greens. Now, yes, they're very similar. I recognize that. And I do love beets. But beet greens are a little bit on the sharp side for me. But maybe I'll give them some reconsideration. Maybe mix them with the collards. I don't know. Thanks, Lance. Thanks to all of y'all. Thanks again to Mark for being here last week. And thanks to all of you for being here this week. See you next Saturday.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing The Garden Mama Show. Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone, propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. You may be able to save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Mom?
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.